Count of Monte Cristo.
Is about to escape from his house when he meets the Abbe Busoni. The supposed priest reminds him of his crimes and shows an amazing knowledge of the imprisonment of Edmond Dantès. He then reveals his identities as Monte Cristo and Edmond Dantès himself. De Villefort, crazed by grief and dishonor, rushes from the house. The present scene is the garden of Julie and Emmanuel Herbeau.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Why are you sweeping those leaves, Penelon? The wind blows them right back again. Pest, what a gardener you are.
Tocle, my good fellow, if I were not a better gardener than you are, concierge, I would give up work. So I would.
You were a good sailor, Penelon. You should have stayed aboard the merchantman. Sweeping decks was easy. You could sweep the dirt right into the ocean.
Bah!
Here, you have to sweep the same place two or three times. And still, it's dirty.
Oh, go back to your gate, where you can count the people who pass on the street. You should have remained a cashier and not have tried to be a concierge.
Look out. You're losing some of those leaves. Try spraying them with tobacco juice.
Coquet, you sit there like a stuffed bird and do nothing but croak.
Stuffed birds don't croak, Penelon.
Monsieur Maximilien is coming back to say goodbye to Julie. And there will be no one at the gate to meet him.
Then go yourself and sweep the sidewalk. Mordieu, stuffed bird, am I? When I was cashier for Morel and Son, you were glad enough to come to me for your pay. Yes, and Quartermaster Penelon was always one of the first to reach the cashier.
I took no chances. Any month you might have been missing with the payroll. Huh. I wonder Monsieur Herbeau let you be his concierge.
The Navy missed a good powder monkey when you took up gardening.
Bah!
It's too bad you never understood navigation, Penelon. You were a promising youth.
There was not a sailor on the Mediterranean who knew more about sailing a ship than I.
Then why didn't you keep your own ship from sinking?
No man alive could have saved the Pharaon. There is no finer mariner on the seven seas than Captain Gomard.
Penelon, I'm going to ask one favor.
What?
Don't tell me again how the Pharaon was scuttled.
Scuttled? What do you mean? I was the last man that left the deck. I no sooner reached the longboat than the deck burst with an explosion like the broadside of a man of war.
You told everyone the ship was wrecked in a gale.
Oh, heaven give me patience. It was the worst gale that ever blew off Cape Bogador. We were sailing under bare poles, not an inch of canvas.
And as the Englishman said, the Pharaon was too old to risk that.
And the Englishman was right, Coquelet. We tossed about 12 hours. Then Captain Gomard rushes up to me. Penelon, I think we are sinking. Give me the helm.
So you went down into the hold.
There I found 4 feet of water.
3 feet.
It was 4 feet of water.
You've added another foot.
Wasn't I there?
All alone down there in the water.
All hands to the pumps, I shouted. But the more we pumped, the more the water came in.
You didn't know how to pump.
4 hours we worked those pumps, but the ship began to settle. We're sinking, someone shouted. Some of the men began to go up on deck. The captain appears with a brace of pistols.
How much water was in the hold by that time?
I will blow out the brains of the first man who leaves the pumps, he shouted.
Splendid.
The wind had died down, but the water was rising in the hold at the rate of 2 inches in an hour.
3 inches, wasn't it?
In 12 hours, we would have 2 feet.
Depending upon how many men stayed at the pumps, Pennylong. You haven't calculated the ratio between the water drawn up through the pumps and...
Who's telling this story?
Well, I think you might let me tell it for a change.
Oh, go ahead and tell it then.
Monsieur Pennylong, please. Don't leave the Faroon high and dry. Give her a decent burial and see if for once and for all she won't stay buried.
Oh, there is no lower form of animal life than a concierge.
Let me see. Ah, yes. To the boats, my lads, shouted the captain. Now, a sailor may be attached to his ship, but...
Hold your tongue.
But he is still more attached to life. So we did not wait to be told twice. We flung ourselves into the longboat.
Idiot.
Where is our captain? Cried one of us. All of us took up the cry. Oh, where is our captain? Then one of us, less nearsighted than the rest, shouted, there he is, still on deck.
No decent man would make a mockery of Capitaine Gomar. A braver man never lived.
Save yourselves, me lads, cried the Capitaine. This will not do, I whispered to my comrades, and suddenly, seizing my superior officer, I dragged him into the boat beside us.
Bah!
A feat made possible only by the settling of the ship, so that the gunwales were right at the water's edge.
Whew. Concierge.
Ah, the ship exploded. Let me see. Ah, then it nosed down, spun slowly about, and sank from sight forever. For 3 days, we were without food or drink. We were on the point of casting lots to see who should be a caviar or a cadaver, according to taste, when, boom, we heard a man of war approaching.
La Gironde was not a man of war.
She had seen our signs of distress, our pinched faces, and the fitful tossing of dice.
You think you know so much about the old Faroon. I'll tell you, Monsieur Concierge, that there are things you don't know.
Impossible, impossible. There is nothing that you know which you have not dinned into my ears ever since I came here to work for Monsieur Herbeau.
How did the new Faroon come to be built? Ah, you don't know. No more did Monsieur Morel himself know.
You're pretending, Penelon.
Penelon knows.
You are trying to tell me that you know this secret that no one has ever learned? That Mademoiselle Julie and Monsieur Emmanuel have never discovered in all these years?
My good Coquelet, you may have been a hard-working, faithful cashier for 25 years, but you really know little about the affairs of Morel and Son.
Ah, no one knew them better than I, not even Monsieur Morel himself.
Then you remember the 5th of September, 1829?
Who could forget it? That was the day the house of Morel was saved, and word came to us that a new ship, exactly like the sunken Faroon, was coming into the harbor under full sail.
I was on deck. You were on the dock. You got there late, I think.
I was one of the first to reach the dock.
Then perhaps you saw a man in a black beard hiding behind the sentry box.
A man in a black beard?
Yes.
Well, how was I to notice a stranger in all that crowd?
Ah, Penelon saw.
Ah, how could you? You were rushing about attending to the unloading of the cargo. It was a cargo of cochineal and indigo. Well, I remember it, for the ship was loaded just as the old Faroon was the day she was scuttled. sank, I mean.
There was a man behind the sentry box. The man who ordered the new Faroon to be built and who paid for it.
Who was he?
I can't tell you who he was, but I can tell you how I know.
How?
Because I, old Penelon, quartermaster of the Faroon, superintended the building of the new vessel.
What?
I saw every piece of timber that went into her.
Mon Dieu! You kept your secret well. So this mysterious benefactor of the Morel family took you into confidence.
As a brother.
Didn't Capitaine Gomez know the ship was building?
Not until it was finished.
Did you ever see this unknown man again?
I did.
When? Where?
At Trieste, 4 years ago.
Vraiment?
Ah, you are interested, n'est-ce pas, monsieur?
Did he speak to you?
He was getting aboard a yacht. He had no time.
Did you take down the name of the yacht?
I may not be as quick at names and figures as you, Monsieur Coquelet, but I have a good memory. The yacht was named La Mouette.
And you have never told Mademoiselle Julie about this man?
Madame Herbault suspected that I had some private dealings with him at Marseille and questioned me about it.
You told her about seeing this man in Trieste?
I went so far as to tell her it was the same man who had called on her father June 5th, 1829.
What?
Well, what is so funny about it?
You mean the Englishman?
You must know. Yes, but mind you keep it confidential.
The agent of Thompson and French?
Yes, but you must not breathe a word to anyone.
And was he the man with the black beard? The one who built the Faroe?
I don't see what is so funny.
Why, everyone knows who your mysterious Englishman is.
You know?
He was not an Englishman at all.
How do you know?
Penelope, look over at that window.
Huh? What do you mean?
Do you see the back of a man?
Why, that is Monsieur le Comte de Monte Cristo.
He was your Englishman.
Mon Dieu.
Your leaves are all blowing away, Penelope.
Let them blow.